97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the economic and PR benefits of March Madness. Our guest, Tom Reagan, who teaches sport and entertainment at the University of South Carolina. Tom has a long background in accounting and number crunching, which is going to be very good for this conversation. So, Tom, let's try not to get buried in the numbers, but there are some very important numbers. Let's start with the first four, often called the play-in games. Dayton has hosted those games for several years and in the course of the past 15 or so years has seen an increase in $66 million in the economy. So even the play-in games are very important. Philadelphia is going to be hosting the East Regional, expecting an economic boost of $18 million during that weekend. These are mind-blowing numbers.
Well, the kicker to the thing is that they have to have it over and over again. I said, when you host a tournament, first rounds of stuff, you know, the 32 and you're going into it, the key point is that the cities and those regions are able to host them multiple years over and over. And because of the customer service they provide and ideal rooms, and also when you talk about the hospitality that is treated, the NCAA likes that, and also all the host teams when they do the evaluations and the report coming back, it is essential that those marks are high in order for them to return to that city. So when you see this annual impact coming into Dayton, Philly, and some of the cities you see hosting a long time, the key point is they did a great job. We want to come back to that city because they did it well.
All right, so the Final Four will be going back to Houston. It'll be the third time that Houston has hosted, and the expectation there is about $300 million in revenue from the Final Four. So if you get to host the Final Four, then you're really in some tall cotton.
Yeah, I think the Final Four this year is in Phoenix, and it's going to be at the University of Phoenix Stadium there. When you talk about the impact that is being done on the Final Four this year, what you're going to see is that the impact, because so many of the people that go to the Final Four, go to Super Bowls, et cetera, those mega events, almost all of those people are out of town. And the other thing is that the media that come from all over the country, and they bring in all the equipment and everything, the room nights, et cetera, are basically very upgraded. The rates are upgraded, therefore the tax base is generated. And so when you see cities like this that they're able to host the number of room nights that they have, the Convention and Visitors Bureau are looking at this as a boost during those off-season type things. So like in Phoenix, they're coming right off of the final baseball where they've been down there in the Phoenix area in spring training. Now they're coming in with the Final Four. This would be the uptick after that. Therefore, it is a down room night for them. Therefore, it's an ideal time for them to host it because then they can make that bid and make up those room nights where they would have been down. And then the other kicker to that is they always are looking for a venue that is probably a football venue, really, and we can pack as many people in there and charge the rates we want because they're going to have 50 or 60,000 at the game.
Okay, yeah, and thanks for correcting me. Phoenix is this year. Houston was prior to that. But the point is so much money coming into these cities. And the reason that so much money can come in is TV money. That's a big part of it. $10 billion. Paid by CBS and Turner Sports for the 16 tournament. So we're assuming that the numbers are going to be similar, if not higher, this year.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that each of these cities, you know, benefit from is the intangible benefit from everybody taking a look at it, if it's Phoenix or Houston, you know, New Orleans, wherever they're going to be hosting these tournaments, and oftentimes in Arlington and Texas. The TV money is driving it. The NCAA benefits greatly from that TV things, but also the teams and the conferences also, too. And one of the other aspects of that is, you know, when you look at a $300 million spend, when you're taking a look at this between all the entities that are there, sometimes you have to remember that, you know, the key to this thing is it's new money outside that region. It's not just the citizens of Phoenix in that area. It's the citizens that are spending money outside of it. And when you're looking at economic impact and benefit, you're talking about new money into the region, not redistribution of the money that's already there. And that's why these type of events are so successful.
Yeah, and the one thing that really grabbed my attention when we were researching this topic is that since 86, tournament TV rights have gone up 4,500%, not 400%, 4,500%. That's a huge, huge increase in 30 years.
And then on the TV thing too, you know, when you're taking a look at it, not only the CBS, but then you have TNT, True Network. You have they spread the cost between multiple networks in order to be able to attain those TV rights. It's no longer just a CBS and, you know, March Madness going with just one network. They spread it over multiple networks in order for them to be able to benefit from these TV rights at those levels in order to maintain that. And then the other aspect of it too is the way that they have platformed all their games to be on the networks and stuff, and where you can do it on the internet and everybody can take a look at them at multiple times. They've programmed that to an extent where you can be able to access it almost from anywhere. So that's another avenue that they've been able to generate and be able to get the sponsorships, but also the advertising in order to pay those type of TV rights.
And Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the economic and eventually the PR benefits of March Madness. We're talking with Tom Reagan, the University of South Carolina. Tom, we're talking about all the money that's generated by TV and the money that comes to those cities that are hosting various aspects of the tournament, especially the Final Four. What about the money that comes to the schools involved? What sort of windfall is it to reach the Final Four, for example?
Well, it is significant. Most of the conferences, you know, when the NCAA is the largest, the NCAA Final Four is the largest distribution of money back to the schools. And in the super conferences, the Big Five, if you have, you know, three teams, four teams, whatever it may be from one conference, like the SEC still has three teams in it. The ACC only has one team in it. It's kind of backwards of what has happened in the past. But then the money from the NCAA goes to the conference. Conference has a distribution down to the schools. So it isn't like the one school benefits much greater than that. The Vanderbilts, the Auburns, LSUs, et cetera, are still going to benefit from it. They don't get the notoriety. They don't get the public's perception of being in the Sweet 16 to 8 in the Final Four. But that money, as long as they are going into the tournament, every level increases with the amount of money that the schools will bring back to the conference, and the conference has a distribution back. Now, the schools that are out there, they also get their everything paid for, and the students get per diems, and the student athletes get per diems, and everything else. Big benefit to the conferences to have as many teams in it, because these are excess monies over their budgets that they probably didn't put into it, and they can help with capital expenditures and other needs that the schools may need in their athletic department.
Okay, so we can watch all of these games on TV, and lots of us do. A couple of years ago, I had a guy who was working on our house, and he said, during March, I'm just not going to be able to do much, right, because I'm going to be watching March Madness. But if you want to go see it in person, it's not like it's inexpensive, roughly $350, but comparatively speaking, the NBA Finals, more than 600. The playoffs, and especially the World Series, up about 800. The Super Bowl, almost $5,000 for a ticket. So really, it's kind of a bargain to go see games for March Madness.
That is very true, and then what you see is a bargain in relative speaking to the people who have the discretionary money to do that. The part is that they have to be able to travel there, and they have to be able to stay overnight. And then you see those room rates definitely go up at that period of time because you have to have certain guarantees for number of nights in some of those hotels. But that's very typical of major sports events. But when you're taking a look at it, what usually happens is if in these tournaments, and I don't care if it's in the round of 32 or if you get down to 16, when you're at those tournaments, what you see is a big turnover. If the team loses, for example, I'm just going to use, if North Carolina would have lost in the first round in Greenville, you would have seen all those tickets get sold immediately to other people. They would have said, I'm done with this. I'm going back, you know, home to Chapel Hill. I'm not going to sit here and watch Duke or anybody else play.
And maybe so sold at a loss, right?
Well, many of them sell at a profit because those tickets now, you don't have a seat. So the South Carolina and the other people that are there are going to come back in and say, yeah, I'll sell these tickets, but I'm going to sell them for a higher price. Many of them, South Carolina, and I'll just say when they were getting into that, into the final game and they were going to play Duke, many people went up there and paid a premium in order to get in there because they were not going to be able to get into the arena because it was sold out. So therefore, the other schools that are already out were selling their tickets and you'll get them.
Well, you mentioned that folks who do this kind of thing have discretionary money to be able to do it. But, you know, it makes it tough on the average guy. But if you have that kind of money and you really want to see your team in the championship game, I guess you're going to spend that kind of money.
Well, I think one of the things is, you know, I think we all kind of have our checklist of things we'd like to do. And I think opportunities to see a championship game or see your team do it, it's very difficult to win championships. And it's in college sports and in professional sports, it doesn't always occur. So I think there's a lot of people out there say, look, in my lifetime, I want to be able to have this experience right now. And it becomes not just it's almost oftentimes for some people outside their budget, but it's an experience which is still key to sports. And then that's what economic people want to do. You play off that win and that emotion in order to try to get them to spend up. And many of them is, if I don't have this experience, I may never see this again in my life, and I want to do it right now. And what I'm starting to see is younger people are starting to get into that, not just old guys like me.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Tom Reagan of the University of South Carolina about the economic impacts. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the PR benefits of March Madness. There's been a lot written about schools that are not in the Power Five conferences, that are mid-majors and, you know, the Cinderella teams. And the spike in enrollment, the spike in interest in the school when they pull off one of these Cinderella wins. So what's that all about?
Well, there's no question. And you can take a look at it. You know, there's some schools who would say, like Gonzaga out of Spokane at the West Coast Conference, when you have Wichita, you know, who's had some good runs. Villanova's a smaller school but has the publicity and the PR coming out of the Big East. But those are, you know, mid-major schools, not very big. And a lot of them are their private schools. The PR game that you see it here is also an economic game that you see, is that when you see a Gonzaga, Wichita, Villanova, whatever it may be, and they are definitely powers in basketball, you see the merchandise sales, but you also, when you talk about the application process, increases. So there's no question, and you can, Alabama has been saying it for years, as their success in football occurred, their application processes, especially from the western part of the United States, increased. And the same thing is going to happen when South Carolina won back-to-back national championships in baseball. Applications of South Carolina increased. So when you start to see across the nation, you know, when you talk about a PR, which is a very broad term, but the media exposure that they get from being on national TV, but also on all the social platforms that they do, but it also is in every office and every family that has anything to do with sports is talking about it at that time. It heightens the awareness of that school. The school's going to get hit more hits, and the more hits they get, all they got to do is get a percentage of that to get some applications in, and you see it ramp up. So it's a win-win for most of the schools that can go far deep into the tournament. It's free publicity, and it's great publicity. There's no bad news coming from that.
Yeah. So Florida Gulf Coast loses early this time around, but went to the Sweet 16 previous to that, a little school that is actually fairly new. And during that tournament, Google searches for Florida Gulf Coast were greater than Google searches involving University of Kentucky, despite Kentucky being, you know, one of the premier basketball schools in the country. And the following year, applications to Florida Gulf Coast surged by 27.5%. So, you know, it was a big boon for Florida Gulf Coast.
Well, and I would have been one of those searching because I didn't know where I was at. I mean, so when you sit there and think something like Florida Gulf Coast, where is that? You know, so what you're doing is you're going to search that. And I was one of them. I'm like, I wanted to learn more about the school. And I think there's the curiosity of many people when you start to see these is, well, where is that located? So it doesn't surprise me one bit. And I would see, you know, Clemson winning the national championship in football. You're going to see, you know, multiple people across the country are still saying, well, you know, where's Clemson located? What type of city? What area is it in? And they're going to do it, and you'll see those applications. But for a small school, you know, like Florida Gulf Coast, when you're starting to take a look at it, you know, when you say a 27.5% increase, well, you know, their applications before may not have been so great, so the numbers may not be excessive, but the percentage sounds good.
So an analysis by Bloomberg shows that schools that upset teams seeded at least 10 spots ahead of their own mark get an average increase of about 7%. Nothing to sneeze at, but, you know, not like the 27.5, but still pretty good. And then one particular one I want you to talk about is 2012, Lehigh beats number 2 Duke in the first round, leading to a saying that we hear around Chapel Hill. I don't know if you hear it there in Columbia, but you got Lehigh'd. You know, when somebody gets beat by a smaller team, it's you got Lehigh'd. Is that something you hear?
Well, absolutely. And I think around South Carolina, we got Chapin State. So we were the number 2 seed at that time, and we got beat by, I think, a 15. One of the things is, and I think that is part of why this tournament and, you know, the money and the prestige and the publicity and everything is that, you know, sometimes deep down inside, you know, we know Duke should win those games and things like that. But I said, we always pull for that underdog. And I think that's one of the things that keeps this tournament so relevant is that, you know, the Lehighs and Coppin State beat South Carolina years ago. You always see those type of upsets, and then you see these smaller schools come up and have a good run, like Florida Gulf Coast, etc. But that is deep down inside, we're all kind of pulling for those little guys to do it because those major 5 conferences are going to come in there and they're going to have their teams. But you know, when you get a smaller conference, a team that's playing well, and they upset one of the big guys, I see deep down inside, even though you might be a fan of one of the schools, you're still kind of pulling for that little guy to see what he can do.
Of course, here in Chapel Hill, for most of us, our favorite team is Carolina. Our second favorite team is whoever plays Duke, especially if that person that school happens to beat Duke. South Carolina is a major university, but not seen so much as a basketball school. So what sort of impact will beating Duke in basketball have at South Carolina?
Well, right now, you know, when you're on campus, that the buzz that we won on campus is just all over the place, and it's so exciting. The impact is significant. It's the first time we've been in the Sweet 16. The other impact is that we're getting on a national stage now, but we got to that national stage by beating, you know, the Duke Blue Devils, the number 2 seed in that conference, in the tournament on that bracket. So it is very significant to us. You know, it's not like we got, you know, beat a non-name school. We beat a powerful school with one of the Hall of Fame coaches. And you know, Frank Martin has a great reputation as a coach and a teacher. And the players that he has, they really enjoy him. But the buzz in the university, and that's one of the things that makes the university kind of special. The kids are so excited. You can just feel it in class and everything else. And that's one of those things that, you know, you can't plan. But it is so nice to see because these kids are so engaged. Is it a big win for us? You better believe it. And going up to New York with that media market and what they're doing for South Carolina, it's a big deal. And hopefully there's something they can build on.
And we at UNC appreciate you for that. That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Tom Reagan. Thanks also to producers Caleb Waters and Rachel Scott. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.